Okay, that's been 5 minutes. Welcome back. The next item on the agenda this evening is called Annual Plan 2020-21. It's a recommendation, page 23, for a move and a seconder. Councillor Midgley moving, yep, and seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. The annual plan 2021 highlights a summary of activities developed in line with the strategic plan adopted by Council on 9th of December 2019. The activities highlighted in the plan are not an exhaustive list of Council's programs for the year. They provide a snapshot of activities that are to be implemented for each strategic priority. The annual plan has been redesigned to reflect Council's request for strategies and actions to be clear and achievable. It is a more concise and accessible document that has been drafted previously. Thank you very much for the staff involved in doing the annual plan. Mayor, I just have a question in regards to who from the staff actually put the annual plan together.
General Manager.
Through Mr Mayor, the prime author of the annual plan is our communications and engagement advisor, Ms Sarah Wilcox.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms Wilcox. And just before I go on and talk about a bit more in regards to the plan, just to note that today I had a meeting for my other job with Huonville Council staff, and I noted in their community communications area they have about four staff working in that area, looking at the Facebook communications, making someone actually specifically looking at videos.
Would being relevant to topic?
But relevant to the topic in regards to, I am just really grateful that we have Ms Wilcox's diversity of skills and actually all that she does in putting this annual plan together. So the annual plan incorporates also the estimates of revenue and expenditure for the 2021 financial year as approved by Council on the 15th of June 2020, and the annual plan will be placed on Council's website and printed copies made for any person who requires a copy.
Councillor Reid and then Councillor Street.
Thank you. I would also like to add my voice of thanks and appreciation to Ms Wilcox for putting this together, because I think that what we have here is a really concise plan for the first time. And I've been very critical in the past that because we had previously had such lengthy strategic plans, that we then had to have a very, very substantial annual plan, and that we used a lot of staff resources then every quarter reporting against that, and we ended up with a document at the end of that that nobody ever read. So I'm really pleased that what we have now is a much more concise process, which hopefully will save time of some of our busy staff. I think it looks terrific. It's great to see pictures that have been taken by local residents being incorporated as part of it. So it looks great. The other thing I wanted to comment on, and I've, in the past, before we had our communications officer here with us, I've always been very critical of the language that we use in some of our documents, that it can be quite bureaucratic, and I was really pleased to see that this is very accessible language. I always try to read a document and under the lens of somebody who has a lower level of literacy and whether they'd be able to understand it. And I think this has used language appropriately in an accessible way as possible, and also has incorporated diagrams that help those people who do have the lower literacy levels. So I appreciate that, and I'm sure that the Access Committee would as well. Just two small points I wanted to make. On page 3 of the annual plan, it says that the blue box on the right-hand side says, elected by the community, the council is the decision-making body that sets the strategic direction. It delivers the, and then it's got two dot points. And the first one says, the four-year city plan, which sets out what council will achieve during its four-year term. The last time I checked, well, actually, the last time I tried, yes, well, I'm mentioning the war because I wasn't here for the war, because I did bring a motion that we, in January 2019, that we apply for city status, and the motion was actually debated in my absence when I was on leave, and it was unsuccessful. So I'm not sure why we're referring to ourselves as having a four-year city plan when it was made very clear to me by my colleagues that it was not something that was desirable. So I would like us to come up with an alternative word, which I would have thought municipal plan, or plan for our municipality. I'm not going to give the exact words, but I would like that taken into consideration, please. On page 18, where it has the, I'm just scrolling to it, the diagram in relation to the estimates process. Sorry, it's slow on computer. It has an estimates process there in a really good flowchart. The one thing that I noticed was missing was any reference to community engagement with the budget process, and that's something that we know that the community now have come to see as a regular thing. It's not within that flowchart. I would really like to see that there, because we do have now, I would have thought, a well-established procedure where for the last 3 years we have engaged the community and asking them for feedback from the on our annual budget, and I wouldn't like to see that drop out of here, because it could be viewed as moving away from that practice. So if we could have that incorporated as well, that would be terrific. But overall, I'm really pleased to endorse this, and I look forward to any community feedback that we might receive.
Can I ask the General Manager at this stage, Councillor Reid's suggested some minor amendments. Are they things that you can just do, or do you need amendment to the motion in order to do them?
To formalise it would probably be best if the mover and seconder were comfortable. Certainly officers are comfortable with the two suggestions from Councillor Reid.
Got some words around that, or?
I think if we can just we can just say that on page 3 that the word city be replaced with appropriate words, then that will allow Ms Wilcox to insert the appropriate words. And it's really about putting in the concept of the community engagement on the budget process into that flowchart.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we're happy. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. The only thing that I can disagree with so far is that it's actually the second year that we've had a nicely consolidated annual plan. The 18-19 one was based on our new strategic plan, and it was only 26 pages long. What I wanted to point out was that the 18-19 strategic plan was 124 pages long, and we're now down to 24 pages. So I think that's a fantastic endorsement of the work of Ms Wilcox and the work of staff. And I just wanted to place on record how grateful I am that the wishes of council in that respect have been noted and followed through to this document, which is an excellent annual plan.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to echo the sentiments of my colleagues. I think this annual plan shows a lot of pride in our municipality. I love that we've used photos taken by our residents to give the community some ownership of it. I love that it's clear, it's concise, it's really easy to read, and I really love that our vision, our purpose and our values are stated up front. So thank you very much to the staff who contributed to the annual plan. I think it looks amazing.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I too would like to thank particularly Ms Wilcox, but also everybody that's been involved, and I thought it would be an opportune moment to just celebrate some of the highlights that exist within this plan. And of course, indeed, it is succinct and it's easy to read and it's easily digestible and it looks great. But also the content within it really is worth celebrating. Implementation of the Kingston Place strategy, talking about the waste minimisation and recycling campaign that's going to happen next year or in 2020-2021, and ongoing projects such as Silverwater Park and the future swimming pool feasibility study. It's also really exciting to see the Kingborough Volunteer Program will continue to support and provide meaningful services that contribute to the independent living of senior residents. A particular fascination of mine, but also a concern at times, is stormwater and the provisions for stormwater within the municipality. And so I'm very pleased to see the reporting of the Stormwater System Management Plan, which identifies the flood risk that we face within our urban drainage catchments, and that is a particularly incredible body of work that I found very fascinating. WaterWise projects will focus on supporting and informing community event managers and participants to reduce waste, and this is something that we can all take pride in as we do our own small bit to mitigate anthropogenic climate change. Water quality, obviously we've had some recent wins that are really exciting, and obviously there's ongoing commitment to ensuring that we investigate any issues in Blackmans Bay and Kingston Beach. And of course the capital works and asset management, the sheer scale and scope of the works that get done do deserve commendation. Road sealing projects of $1.6 million, road resheeting projects of $1.1 million, stormwater infrastructure improvements of $1.8 million, sporting ground infrastructure enhancements of $700,000, reserves and play spaces of $400,000, and public toilet improvements of approximately $300,000. So I won't bore everybody by going through it, but I strongly recommend everybody gets a copy of their annual report and takes a look and obviously asks any questions that they have of us about that. But I just think it's a timely reminder of the great work that the staff do, and I thank all of them for it.
Councillor Grace.
Well, I'm just thinking about this, you know, and I always have a little bit to say about this each year, as you all know. I like this year very much. Our community is at the heart of everything we do. Well done, because the community are the heart of everything. And I really think that was very touching. I have no problem this year in supporting this report. Thank you.
No other lights are on at this stage, and there still aren't. Councillor Midgley would not like to sum up. The motion, as moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Fox, is that in accordance with Section 71 of the Local Government Act 1993, Council adopts the annual plan for the 2020-21 financial year and instructs the General Manager to A, make a copy of the annual plan available for public inspection at the Civic Centre on Council's website, and B, provide a copy of the annual plan to the Director of Local Government and the Director of Public Health. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried. The next item is the asset management policy recommendation, page 55. Councillor Cordova moves and seconded by Councillor Westwood. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. A very important policy update. Although prosaic, not too much controversial here, but I do specifically want to thank Mr. Reeve and also our General Manager for their work on it. What we're looking at here is the update to the asset management policy as it's due for review. And so, as I said, fairly straightforward here, but the asset management policy is developed in line with the Local Government Act, and the main amendments to this policy are the rewording of the policy objective to better articulate what Council aims to achieve and bring it more in line with contemporary asset management practices by emphasising the following: asset management being driven by the services that Council and the community want, environmental sustainability being embedded into the asset management process, reference to the use of smart technology to provide improved services and ability to better monitor the effectiveness of services, and community involvement is more clearly defined, both on improved understanding of the services provided but also on their input into this process. I would like to invite the author of this report, if I may, Mr. Mayor, to provide any highlights or commentary around it that Mr. Reeve sees fit.
Mr. Reeve, highlights.
Sorry, Mayor. I usually only talk about highlights in my hair, but that's okay. So this is, I guess, part one of a report that will come back to Council. So the second part of it will be the asset management strategy. So there's a lot of linkages that actually happen with the strategic plan, the asset management policy, the long-term financial plan, the asset management strategy, and all the individual asset management plans as well. I think the thing, if I was asked to actually highlight anything out of this particular policy, is the viewpoint of everybody having their head around that it's not so much about the assets, it's about the services. So the assets are just there to support the services there. So certainly having that service-centric sort of viewpoint is really important when we consider all our things, including all of our capital budgets and the aspects of the long-term financial plan that that deals with assets as well at the same time. Certainly, as Councillor Cordova has mentioned there, there's a couple of changes there, and they're changes that have been driven by the environment that we're actually in at the moment as well at the same time there. So certainly we've done a bit more at looking at where we can look at the environmental sustainable practices there. Councils will be well aware of the fact that we've been using particular products in our roads there that are reducing single-use plastic bags, for example, there. We look at where we can use recycled plastics as well in some of our materials, such as seats and bits and pieces like that. And that'll only become a larger thing going forward as well at the same time there. New technology is the other aspect as well. You can see the world around there. It's changing all the time there. It's only just recently that we've actually updated all of our street lights in the city to LED lights. So apart from a saving to the community in terms of financial saving there, it's also a better product as well at the same time. So these are all the types of things that actually go into what underpins the policy. So the policy itself has the broad statements, but they're some of the things that might actually come out of that as well at the same time.
Thank you. Very well said, and I support the motion. Over to you.
Next is Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I think it's a good report. Again, asset management, but referring to back something I said before on another issue that some of the councils took an offence to, if you look at the asset management, you will understand possibly where I was coming from, the objectives of the asset management, in particular in the infrastructure of our infrastructure throughout our municipality, and basically that's where I'm coming from. And again, can I just say possibly why we need to say these things at times is the fact that we don't get a full report often enough on the condition of our assets or what needs to be replaced. At one time we had an engineering, which Councillor Wass was the chair for many years, engineering services, which provided with all of councillors with all the committee. Then the committee took it to council, and we were all aware of the need. I think we just lost that since we've done away with our committees, and but this report, I guess I'm not real good on picking faults with the report, but it is there, and there's not a lot of changes, I don't believe, from the actual report we had the last time. I support this, Mayor.
Councillor Westwood and then Councillor Reid.
Thank you, Mayor. The only thing I wanted to say was I'm pleased to see one of the principles that will underpin Council's asset management arrangements include consideration to smart technology in implementing asset management solutions to provide improved services and the ability to better monitor effectiveness of service. So very interested to see how that plays out in the next little while.
Thank you. Look, I endorse the rewritten policy. There was just a minor thing. There's a comma missing on the second page of the policy under scope at point 3.2, the first dot point. It reads, the planning process where the requirement for an asset is identified and established having regard to service delivery considerations. It needs a comma after established, because I keep rereading the sentence thinking a word was missing, but it just needs a comma. I think I might have wanted to be a school teacher in former life, so apologies.
Okay. Great pick up, Councillor Reid. That'll be action. Doesn't need a motion to add a comma. Great. Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up? Okay, the motion is, as moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Westwood, that the Asset Management Policy 3.15 as attached to this report be approved by Council. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion's carried. Move on to the Sports Ground User Policy. That starts on page 64. There's a recommended motion on page 65. Anyone like to move? Councillor Westwood. Yep, Councillor Westwood.
Yes, I'd like to move
and
that.
And Councillor Reet.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to move the recommendation with a small change to say instead of be adopted for a further 2 years, be adopted for a further 1 year.
I'll just check Councillor Reet that she's comfortable with that. Okay, so just so we're clear, wasn't the recommended motion, it was better to say slightly different with the word two is replaced to with the word one. Councillor Westwood?
Yes,
further 1 year.
Correct.
Yes, that's
further
right.
1 year. Thank you.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I support this policy as written. The change that I've proposed to review it in 1 year instead of two is kind of linked back to the future directions plan that we referenced earlier in this council meeting. I would just like to make sure that whatever comes out of the report that was approved earlier in the meeting is considered as part of our sports ground user policy. I'm really keen to see the issue of equity in sport explored up at the Kingborough Sports Precinct. The report does say under 4.1 and 4.2, in recent years, councillors have expressed a desire to tackle the issue of sports ground user fees and the inequity that exists in terms of the differing levels of support that is provided to different recreational activities. So we know there are 32-ish organisations up at the sports precinct. 4.2 goes on to say, ideally council's sports ground user policy would provide some direction on this issue of sports ground user fees and equity between those different organisations, but the policy is currently silent on the matter, consistent with the council resolution to abolish higher charges for sports grounds made in 2005. Whilst I do support the policy as it's presented to us tonight, and I do understand that we don't want to have an expired policy, I would really like this to be reviewed in the light of equity amongst the different organisations at the sports precinct. I thank staff for providing the updated policy, but I would like to see it reviewed sooner than 24 months.
Councillor Reet.
Thank you. I agree with the comments from Councillor Westwood, and I'd been thinking that similarly, that perhaps 12 months would be more appropriate. In 4.5, there is a statement that says the existing policy is relatively benign and contains procedures that are generic to most councils in Tasmania. So I was quite intrigued with that, and I tried to then look at the other sports ground user policies by some of our neighbouring councils, and none of them have them on their websites, which is intriguing. So I was wondering whether it is possible for us to obtain copies of those, because I would be interested in comparing how they deal with some of the issues that we're now grappling with, so that in the 12 months for when we then come up for renewal of this again, that we could actually have a look to see whether there are some things that perhaps we could enhance our policy with and create more equity. So if one of our staff are able to get that, that would be terrific. The only other thing I just wanted to point out, and I know that the General Manager is going to write this down, and he's also going to, and lots of people are going to sigh, it is in fact on the incorrect template for the policy templates. It's in the incorrect order. It is not the updated policy template that I've been promised many times all our policies will be on moving forward. And I will continue to raise this for the sake of consistency until I probably one day keel over at this table. So if that could be rectified in the policy moving forward, that would be appreciated.
General Manager will update template. Yep. We will always know that you'll pick these things up. There's no doubt about it. Any other comments or questions? There's no other lights on, so I'm about to wrap up debate, unless Councillor Westwood would like to. Thank you. Motion moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Reid, is that the Kingborough Sports Ground User Policy 4.6 is attached to this report be adopted for a further 1 year. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Or motion is carried unanimously. The next item is the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Minutes. Moved by Councillor Fox.
Yes, I'd like to move the recommendation on page 71, but there is a minor change I'd like to make to the section B, which states, or section A states, that Council A notes the minutes of the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee and B consider the options of shared cycleways within the Kingston CBD area. I'd like that word shared to be replaced with the word separated bicycle cycleways, and C, request officers amend the project business case form for capital works bid to include required consideration for cyclists and pedestrians.
So let's just make sure Ms. Walton's got this.
Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommended motion.
I think we've started moving it. I do accept that normal practice is we take the recommended motion first, but I've started taking the motion, so I really can't, don't think I can go back.
I'd like to make an explanation too.
Well, can we, before we do that, so before we start debating it,
is
what's on the screen what you were looking for?
Yes.
So I just need to sort of, through Ms. Morton, explain what the change was.
It reflects the actual minutes of the meeting, and there was a typo.
Sure. Before we start debating, though, is that what's on the screen you're happy with?
Yes.
And then, so now I'll need a seconder. Councillor Cordova. Councillor Fox.
I'm sorry, it was an error that the minutes reflect the exact wording and the actual, the minutes of the committee reflected that wording, and the report from staff made an error and used the wrong terminology. There is a summary of that situation on page 70 where the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee met, and we adopted two recommendations, and the motion actually read that that council have regard to, and I paraphrase, separated cycle paths in the Kingston Park development and other areas regarding sporting considerations for cyclists and pedestrians, and they recommended that more emphasis is put on the consideration of active cycling and walking by amending the capital projects business case form with a section on this aspect. Shared cycleways are desirable provided the benefits outweigh the constraints. The options of installing these in the Kingston CBD area with various upcoming projects in Kingston Park and Channel Highway will be considered as part of this project. So it's really to do with making the optimal, using the opportunity during the bike plan and in construction of the Kingston Central Business Area to provide the best possible outcome for both cyclists and pedestrians, because we have become aware that where there is conflict with cyclists and pedestrians, neither of them are very comfortable in these spaces, and so that's why this is recommended not just for the Kingston Park but also the entire CBD area. So I recommend the motion to Council. Thank you.
Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, the only reason that I wanted to move the recommended motion is because I wanted to ask a question about the reason why it said shared cycleways instead of separated cycleways. I accept that I could have done that now in thinking about it, and I'm going to. Was there a particular reason why that terminology was used in the report in the first instance, noting that we don't really have to take the recommendations from the advisory committee and then accept those recommendations? We just need to note the minutes and then do whatever we think we need to do. So was there a reason why it said shared instead of separated?
Mr. Reid.
Through Mayor, I'll put everybody's mind at rest there. Yeah, that's just a typo. So it should have actually been separated, not shared. So it just means, as it's come up as a recommendation, now you need to go through the amendment process to actually rectify it.
Excellent. Happy. Thank you.
Mr. Westwood.
Well, I was about to ask the same question, but just in further to that, is there much difference in cost between a separated cycle in separated cycle paths versus shared cycleways? So note in 9, section 9 that Councillor Fox read out, we do kind of, when I read through it, it's mentioned separated and then it's mentioned shared. So what is the difference, and what is the difference in cost in providing separated versus shared?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, they're two very different beasts. So a shared cycleway there is obviously where you're mixing your pedestrians and your cyclists together. A separate cycle path is actually saying, well, actually with the number that you've actually got through there, it's actually probably a safety issue if you do mix your cyclists and your pedestrians together, and therefore you want to keep them separate from each other. And I guess in terms of the options that we would look at going forward is to actually say, what are the constraints to start off with? What are the safety considerations that are associated with it? What are, for example, traffic volumes, pedestrian volumes, future projections as well? So all these things will need to be taken into account before we even get to the point of actually saying, is a separated cycleway something that we actually want to put in place there. In terms of the cost is going to be a little bit more on the space considerations more than anything there. So with that situation there, you generally have your footpath, you'll have your separated cycleway, and then you'll have your other traffic there, whether it be parking lanes or vehicular lanes as well at the same time. So it tends to be more of a space consideration as compared to a cost consideration.
Thank you. I'm not a cyclist, so that's quite useful to know. And I guess the other thing is, so this isn't actually committing us to having separated cycleways, but it's putting it into the process so that we can make that cost-benefit analysis.
Through you, Mayor, that's correct. So the original discussions, and I wasn't at the KBAC meeting there, but certainly the original discussions there tended to be around, correct me if I'm wrong, tended to be around the Kingston Park area. What I suggested is that we're doing a lot of work in the whole Kingston CBD area there, and it's probably wise to actually consider that for that whole CBD area as well as to whether or not that's appropriate or not to actually have that type of path in place.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. As many of you will probably know, I'm very excited by this motion. It's fantastic that it came from the KBAC committee. I'm just wondering the process in regards to the financial and, I guess, planning and the sort of word around option. Will that, when this is going to be considered or discussed, or if it will happen or it won't, will that come back through the KBAC committee for their consideration and input?
Mr. Reid.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, so if we were going to look at where we're going to put any sort of cycling paths of any description, whether they're separated, whether they're shared, or whether there's something else, then that would go back through KBAC for their information and also feedback as well at the same time. Then particularly something like a separated path there, because it's a little bit different to what we've done before. Certainly other jurisdictions have moved into that area type of thing. But as part of that process, we'd also be discussing with KBAC, you know, what would be some of the drivers for having that particular type of path put in place there, or what would be some of the options as well at the same time.
Thank you, that's fantastic. And just to note as well, the Channel Highway Corridor Study mentioned separated cycleways as the way to go. And as a I try to be as much as I can commuter, cyclist. Share pathways are great for when you have young children or if you're riding sort of little places here and there, but if you're actually wanting to use your bike for transport to get out of your car, then a separated cycleway provides the most safest way to do so. And I guess that's what this City Deal funding as well is looking at, is around encouraging people to use other forms of transport. So if we can have this as a model for the CBD for the future, and as soon as we can, then hopefully we'll see more people out and about on their bikes, and the use of e-bikes is continually to increase. So yeah, it's fantastic, and it's great that there was an error that we could sort.
Councillor Corover.
Thank you very much, Mayor, and I'd like to commend the comments of Councillor Midgley. Very well said, and I absolutely echo those sentiments that separated bike paths are brilliant, and that's why I'm very proud to second this motion here. I just thought I would briefly inject a little bit of economic reality into the debate. They did a study, so it's economic research firm ACON, did a study in Sydney over the last 10 years, about separated cycleways across 15 Sydney municipalities, Sydney City Councils, and they found that for every dollar that they invested in separated cycleways as opposed to shared cycleways, they received $3.88 for every dollar spent. So that is more than triple. And the reason for that was that there's health and lifestyle benefits, obviously, but it's that perception of safety. There's health benefits, obviously, of getting out onto cycleways, but often if there's a perception of a lack of safety with a shared cycleway, people are less likely to use it. And so as a result, they found that an estimated 52% increase in bike trips for the first few years of that, rising after 10 years to 72%. They found reduced injuries, health benefits, quicker trips, and overall the economic benefit as a result of that, kind of in addition to journey ambience and all those kind of factors that were involved. They found that for every dollar you put into a separated cycleway, you get $3.88 back in benefits. So food for thought, and I commend the motion. Thanks very much.
Okay, would Councillor Fox like to sum up?
I thank everyone for their support and contribution. Thank you.
Okay, the motion moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Cordova, is that Council A notes the minutes of the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, B consider the option of separated cycleways within the Kingston CBD area, and C request officers amend the project business case form for capital works bids to include required consideration for cyclists and pedestrians. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. We move onwards to the Kingborough Awards Selection Committee. There's a recommended motion on page 78, but it is missing a few key facts. Would anyone like to have a crack at Councillor Westwood with your button on?
I would like to move the recommended motion with three councillors.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
Who are they?
I'd like to move that council appoints the following three councillors to assist the deputy mayor in the assessment of candidates for the 2021 Kingborough Awards, and that these councillors ensure availability to meet in October 2020. A, Councillor Reet, open bracket chair, close bracket. B, Councillor Cordova, and C, Councillor Woss.
Any seconders? Councillor Midgley. Okay, Councillor Westwood.
In the past, I thought this council is getting more into a discussion before we even come round the table. I find this disturbing.
Councillor Grace,
the fact is that in the past, everyone was...
Councillor Grace, you're welcome to make a point of order or in your own contribution, but at the moment, Councillor Westwood's moved a motion. Yeah, and we have a... So we have a process in which is someone moves and then speaks and then other people put their lights on, and after 20 years I would have thought you'd have a crack at that. So maybe you put your light on, then you can make the next contribution after Councillor Westwood. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. The Kingborough Awards come around every year, and they're a wonderful thing to be involved in.
They are.
Last year, myself, Councillor Reet as the chair, Councillor Midgley and Councillor Woss formed a committee, and we assessed the nominations that we had, and Councillor Reet then presented those at an awards ceremony. So I guess my logic behind the names that I've put forward is to start with the committee we had last year. Councillor Midgley suggested that Councillor Cordova might like to step in her place. He's keen to do that. Certainly open to anyone else who'd like to be involved. Well, certainly open to an amendment to the names that we have there, but at this point in time, that's the proposal that I've put forth, and those councillors are very happy to be included. We can't all be part of the selection committee, but maybe next year, taking on board the feedback that we might get from each councillor when they have their turn to make a contribution, we can consider something else next year.
Councillor Blaustein.
I must say that for once I agree with Councillor Grace that I think that being presented with something as a fait accompli is perhaps not what our council normally does. And
this is exactly what we did last year.
Yes, I know. And I objected last year too.
But can I respond?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm just saying that I think that perhaps we should have all been asked first, perhaps outside, not just in council. I don't particularly want to be in it. I'm just saying that I think that the process is perhaps not right.
Not open and transparent, Mayor, like you said you were going to bring to this council.
You'd think we were setting up some kind of...
It's not that, Mayor. It's not that at all. It's the way it's gone about.
Oh, okay. Councillor Grace, would you like to be on this committee?
No.
You don't. So you don't want to be on the committee?
I possibly would if... I've been on the committee once, twice, I think.
Yeah.
And I think I've done a fairly good job.
Okay.
Because I have a fair knowledge of the people.
I know you do, Councillor Grace. We've all had the agenda since Wednesday. It's never been a hotly contested committee. I suspect if we moved them, if anyone wanted to be on this committee, we don't have to just have four. If you want to be on the committee, you can be on the committee.
Can I move some kind of amendment to strike myself off and put it to the chamber and like select it?
Well, before you do that, I don't think anyone else wants to be on it.
But in fairness to myself, I didn't realise that it was hotly contested, and
it's
not.
But so I don't want the perception that I somehow
You haven't though.
Found it. So I think for transparency, it's totally fine to have an amendment that so we select it here. Don't you think? I mean, if that's the concern, because really I didn't want to. I just said yes. I didn't realise. But it was a backroom deal, and I don't want any part in backroom deals.
Well, it's not. We're not selecting the order committee. We're selecting the Kingborough Awards selection committee. If you're up for the, if you want to, there's nothing to say. We have to have only four. Would anyone that's not on here want to be on it?
Mayor, there is something to say. It's the policy.
Is that okay? We could, or in this motion, we could also amend the policy to allow an extra person on the selection committee. Which is also possible to do. Now, we're well out of order, and I've contributed to that, and Councillor Reid has a lot, and so I'm going to suggest you make a contribution.
As one of the persons whose name is on this list, I feel almost hesitant to speak now.
How did you get chair? What did you do?
If the wrath fall on me. Look, I was asked to last year by the Deputy Mayor if I would assist on the committee for, I guess, continuity, having previously been in the role of Deputy Mayor, because it's been set up that it's always chaired by the Deputy Mayor or the Deputy Mayor is involved. And so I was happy to do that, and I believe that in the time that I've been involved with this committee, the membership has rotated fairly well, and we do try and have a mix of long-serving members and other members of council, so that we can get, you know, a diverse spread amongst the municipality with people who have got, you know, wide networks and who move in different circles and so on. And the fundamental thing about this is if we're not sure, if we've got some applications there that we're not sure about, then we will seek advice from our fellow councillors on that. In any event, the selection of the Citizen of the Year and the other associated awards does come back to council for final say. And I do recall about 5 years ago when it was debated quite vigorously at the time. Might have been five, might have been six. I can't recall the terrible dates, but it was debated at the time quite vigorously. So there is opportunity for other councillors who aren't part of this committee to have a contribution. But importantly, please let's not let this stoush over the membership of this committee detract from the fact that what we are doing here is we are going to be going out to the public, we already have, to say, please nominate people for these awards. The Citizen of the Year, the Young Citizen of the Year and the Community Group of the Year Award, because they are significant awards. We have a municipality full of wonderful people and wonderful volunteers and community organisations that deserve to be recognised, and we're not able to nominate ourselves as council, we're not able to make nominations of residents ourselves. However, if you are involved in community organisations, please encourage people to put in a nomination for somebody that they believe is worthy, because we love to be able to sit down. It is a very rewarding experience to read those applications each year and to actually see the contributions that people selflessly make. So let's not get too distracted by the makeup of this. There will be other opportunities for people to have input, but importantly, if everyone on their social media can actually go out and encourage others to nominate, that would greatly assist the process.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors, for contributing. I guess I was only thinking, and not to get stuck in this point, but perhaps next year, rather than it come to us as a recommendation written like this, perhaps then at the council meeting it is opened up to who would like to appoint, and then...
It absolutely is open up to anyone who wants to nominate.
It's just the way that it's written, Mayor, in regards to that, that council appoints the following. The quest...
It was blank. It was blank until Councillor Westwood asked that.
It was. Oh, okay. All right. But there was already names decided upon.
Well, it's not. There's no decision to be made. And as I said, there's nothing to stop us. At the moment, there are no councillors who are not on it who are indicating they want to be on it.
I
think that it's the way. I don't want to get stuck in it. As I think it's a fantastic award and it's so great. And I know so many people who have got awards for the years and they have they have their award there and it's fantastic. It's just the way that it's written, to come with a list of names before actually going, okay, who would like to? Yes, 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 they might have decided, and then put it down there. Perhaps that could be a different process. But anyway, I'll leave that for next year. Have a think about it.
No. Yeah. Mayor, I'll leave it to next year because, look, it is an important... the selection of our people in the community, we've had some very, very good people.
I'm actually talking and my light's on.
Apologies.
Councillor,
that's okay. My light's on and I'm still talking. So, yes, they are a fantastic award. And my only question is, have we emailed all of the people who attended the Kingborough Consultative Forum committee? Was it raised at the meeting on the weekend? Mm. Are we doing more Facebook promotion and things like that? Because I noted that last year some of the categories were a bit light on. And it'd be great to see that maybe a bit more sort of boost in that areas. If I personally could get another email about it to promote it and things like that, that would be great. So if there's any
Ms.
comment
Wilcox
around
is
that.
Nodding her head to all those things with thumbs up, so I think the answer is yes.
The front page of our website. So yes, encourage all of us to go and promote it, send it to all our community groups, let everybody know, and perhaps if people need assistance to fill out, maybe we can support, I don't know, there could be someone to support them to do that as well, because sometimes filling out forms is a bit overwhelming. So let's, if people need a help in that, let's encourage them and let's get some more nominations in the youth category as well, because there's amazing young people out there doing great things.
Councillor Cordova.
Thanks very much, Mayor. I think that the volunteers of our community, we owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude for all the wonderful work that they do, and one small mechanism that we have in order to express that gratitude is through the Kingborough Council Awards, and so it's my absolute pleasure to be nominated. It's what a privilege, and I look forward to it wholeheartedly. I went along to the award ceremony last time, and what a fantastic, uplifting event. I loved it. And I think that all we can do to encourage people to get involved, we should, and I certainly will be doing my very best to do that within my networks and beyond. I'm really concerned about... I had no idea that this was controversial. Now that I do know it's controversial, I'm a little bit concerned that if there's some sense of upset or the risk of politicisation, I'm really open to, like, amending this or striking my name off the list or... potentially voting against it. I think the people out there in the community actually just want us to do a really good job of running these awards, and they probably don't care too much who's on it. No. But if there is any concern about who is on it and that it was some kind of backroom deal, then I'm happy to vote against this motion because we've got plenty of time before the awards to have a fair process if that's a concern. I know it's like a minutiae thing, but also then again, what's the harm in doing it in a more transparent way? I don't mind.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor Westwood, but I believe what happened is this morning Councillor Reet called members who were on it last year and said, do you want to be back on it again this year? Yes. Councillor Watts, that, yes? Yeah, and said, and Councillor Midgley said, oh no, I think maybe Councillor Cordova would be a good idea. And that's the starting point. We have to have a motion to start this, so we have to have names to start. I would have thought that if you wanted to be on this committee, you would have given us a call or something in the 5 days since the item went out. But instead, you sort of make a scene at the meeting, and you know, that's for individual councillors. But as I said, if anyone really wants,
Mayor,
to be
just
on,
a point, just a point. We used to have papers come round, and we'd put the names down on the papers, and they'd be counted. That's how it used to be done once.
Okay. All right. I think there's no more lights on for contributions, so...
Can I actually end it to strike the names and then we go back to that?
Oh, my
system.
God.
I'm sorry, seriously. But I just don't want that animosity. No. I don't think it's... It's clearly a problem. It's clearly a problem that people are worried about the transparency of the process. So why not just investigate that? It'll take a week.
Okay. You could foreshadow that if this is lost, that you would move a motion to go to a ballot, for example.
I think I'd like to go to a ballot.
Okay, good.
Right. I foreshadow that.
Foreshadowed. So if this is lost, we'll go to a ballot on... Okay. To sum up, Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I echo Councillor Cordova's sentiments in that I didn't realise this was going to be an issue either. I was fortunate enough to have the experience last year, and I hadn't heard from anyone this morning about expressing an interest.
Can you give us some respect, please?
Thank you, Councillor Reet. I hadn't heard from anyone. I need three people to help me nominate some amazing Kingborough residents. So I started with what we had last year, and I did call... I think I messaged Councillor Reed. I spoke to Councillor Worth. I spoke to Councillor Midgley, who suggested that perhaps Councillor Cordova might like to help. In terms of not being open and transparent, I don't think that's fair. When we're in a public council meeting, there's a motion before us where we need to come with three names, and in lieu of anyone else putting forward three names, I have put forward three names. We've got gender balance, we've got a mix of experience between new and longer serving councillors. I don't really mind who helps on the awards selection committee, but to start us off, this is what I've put forward, and let's just see how it goes.
If it's lost, we'll do someone else,
then that's absolutely fine.
Exactly right. Well said. Okay, the motion moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Midgley, is that Council appoints the following three councillors to assist the Deputy Mayor in the assessment of candidates for the 21 Kingborough Awards, and that these councillors ensure availability to meet in October 2020. Councillor Reed is Chair, Councillor Cordova and Councillor Watts. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? We'll have a division. So all those in favour, please raise your hands. Raise your hand if you're in favour. Councillor Street, Councillor Batstone, Councillor Reid, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Watson, Councillor Widow. And those against is Councillor Grace and Councillor Cordova. The motion is carried. Forever, they were in the minutes. Very good. Apologies to those watching at home on the live stream. I don't know what to say, really. Anyway, with that apology, we now move to items that are going to be dealt with in closed session. And the recommendation is that, in accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes and applications for leave of absence. Would anyone like to move or second that? Councillor Fox moves, second by Councillor Wass. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. In accordance with Kingborough Council meeting auto recording policy, recording of the open session will now cease, and the open session of Council is adjourned at 8:20 p.m. Thanks to everyone at home for watching on